Well, welcome and grace and peace to you. I'm excited for this evening's Christmas celebration, our lesson in carols. We're going to work our way through the scriptures, reading several passages. We're going to sing together some hymns, some carols, and then afterwards everyone is invited. We're going to go right across the hall here for some light refreshments. We're thankful to have y'all here. My name is John Blevins. I'm the pastor at Christ Church Presbyterian, a new church plant that's being established here in the area. We're grateful to have our folks here, some friends we see, some new faces. Wonderful opportunity for us to work our way through. I want to thank everyone who will be accompanying this evening with different instrumentation depending upon the song. Appreciate y'all. Thank you for bringing your talents and lending those to us as we do. Well, let us pray, and then we're going to turn our attention. You'll notice as we move our way through, there are a couple of the hymns that have a little asterisk next to it. We'll stand for those. Some folks will come and go as we read, and we'll be singing. So it'll be easy to follow along, though, as we do. Well, let us pray. Oh, Lord, our good Father in heaven, we come to you thankful for this opportunity to celebrate the incarnation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're thankful, confident the Spirit is here and that He is granting to us benefit and blessing from this time of fellowship amongst one another, but also, Lord, as we fellowship with you. So, Lord, as we read your word, we pray the Spirit would make it effectual in our lives as we sing these hymns, that they would not only would we minister to one another, but that they would be a sweet aroma before you. And Lord, we once again just thank you for this opportunity to be together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll be beginning our first lesson as we turn to Genesis chapter 2. Going to read starting in verse 4, a few verses, then we'll read from chapter 3 as well. Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is the Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate.' And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.' And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat of the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you were dust, and to dust you shall return.' The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." Our first carry, you'll see there on the next page, "Once in Royal David's City." If you're able, let's stand for this carol as we sing together. seated. We're going to turn together in several passages in Isaiah, starting with Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Moving to chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And then Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of a cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters over the sea cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. Now, if we turn together for our next hymn to O Come, E Come, Emmanuel.
This is Luke 1, 26 through 55. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to the town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greetings of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones, and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers and Abraham to his offspring forever." Our next hymn will be "O Come All Ye Faithful," and will y'all please stand for this.
Thank you. seated, please. These words from the opening chapter of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 and following, titled The Birth of Jesus. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's continue with our carols this evening. Now we're going to sing Silent Night, Holy Night, and we'll remain seated for this one.
Lessons in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. We're going to sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem. If you're able, let's stand, but let's all sing together.
Shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told. Now we're going to sing Angels We Have Heard on High. Of the second chapter of Matthew. This is God's true word about the events that occurred early in Jesus' life. We call it the visit of the wise men or of the Magi. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet: And you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Now we will sing and we'll stand this time, and we'll sing, "As with gladness, men of old."
Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds, and his ministers a flame of fire." But of the Son of God, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundations of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe you will roll them up. You will roll them up like a garment, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end." Into which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? As we go into the next song, we will be singing "Hark the Herald Angels Sing."
Our ninth scripture reading and our final scripture lesson comes from John, first chapter. We'll be reading verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for these many scripture lessons that we've been able to read and the carols that we've been able to sing. Lord, we're thankful for the glory that is put before us as our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is lifted up in your word as we better understand why he came taking on flesh. Lord, even as we've been able to sing praises and minister to one another, we ask that the Spirit would continue to work as we celebrate our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. I enjoyed from an early age reading The Hobbit and then The Lord of the Rings. I wasn't a Christian at the time, but my favorite character was Aragorn. I loved Aragorn. He gripped my heart. I don't know what it was. As a young man, I don't know if there's someone better a young boy could look up to. Aragorn was my hero. And then, years later, when the Lord saved me and he opened my eyes to his truth and my heart, and then I saw the wonderful movies, but those movies are nothing compared to the books. But as I remembered the books and as I read them again and went back to Aragorn and thought about him, I was struck with how many aspects of Aragorn's life in the book come through, particularly as we think of not an apples for apples, but a little bit of a touching on the coming and the life and ministry of our Savior. Even as you look at the way that Aragorn was known as Strider, though he was the rightful king, ruler of men, and yet he had no home. He lived in the wilderness. He didn't even have the honor of his name being used. There were only a few who knew who he truly was until the time when he came. He stepped forward, if you know the stories, and he saved the world of men. It is a great story. Of course, that story is nothing compared to the reality and the truth of God's redemptive history. Even as we've been hearing this evening, as we've been reading through these lessons and we've been singing these carols, we began our scripture readings tonight in Genesis. That's where you have to begin to understand the creation of man and then the fall. The fall, which brought in sin, which then helps us have a greater context and understanding the incarnation, why the Lord Jesus Christ would come. We came all the way through and we ended here in the gospel according to John as we see the truth, the reality proclaimed. Lord Jesus Christ, he is the God-man. He is the Eternal One, God the Son, second person of the Trinity, creator of all things. The glory that was seen by John and the disciples. We read through all these lessons, starting in Genesis and then moving our way. We didn't cover the entire story. We didn't go to Revelation and see what is ahead of us in the new heavens and the new earth at the return of King Jesus. But we see a big picture. Hopefully we've gotten a nice context set for us so that we might be able to understand the significance of the incarnation. Not only the significance of it in history and redemptive history, but the significance for you as you think about why does it matter? How does it particularly matter in your life? Well, our readings that we've read through, particularly our last reading, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, show us that Jesus is the God-man who came to save his people. That's been before us. And first we see that Jesus is the God-man. Incarnation is not the beginning of the Word. That could be confusing for some people. I think, well, he was born. Yes, that was God the Son taking on flesh. We can even go to chapter 17 here in John in verse 5, and it speaks of the Son's glory that he shared with the Father in eternity past. So we know that this is a taking on of flesh. This is not a beginning of Christ. Even as we read in Genesis, the pre-incarnate Christ was the one walking in the garden, calling out for Adam and Eve. So we understand that as we look through the Scriptures, crying out to them in the beginning of our lessons there. In John, we read that he is the Son. He is the Son. He is begotten of the Father. Not a start. Is his eternal being. Eternal Trinitarian relationship. Father, Son, Spirit. And then we read in John that the disciple John and the other disciples, they beheld the glory of the incarnate second person of the Trinity. And the Greek word here, when it talks about seeing, it's more than just the fact that they saw it, but it goes to the fact that they were in wonderment and they were contemplating what it is that they had seen, what had been revealed to them. They were in awe as they had witnessed and seen Christ. We think, wow, how amazing would that be? And yet the Spirit blesses us with the same wonderment and awe as we come to God's Word and He opens our eyes to the truth as we read it. Even as we read our lessons this evening. This evening we spent time in amazement, beholding the glory of Christ. As we're celebrating His incarnation together on this Wednesday evening. Even as we think about one day for all those in Christ, trusting in Him, we will not just read the Word and behold Christ's glory, but we will behold Christ's glory face to face in the new heavens and the new earth. So we look forward to that, the consummation of God's covenant promise. I will be your God, you will be my people, and I will dwell with you forever. Second person of the Trinity, as we read here, assumed the human nature. He did that without laying aside his divine nature. There's a lot going on. We don't have time to get into that in this simple message here during lessons and carols. It's a mystery, like the Trinity. There's much that's revealed to us, and thank the Lord that He has revealed that. We see the two natures in one person in Christ, the divine and the human, not joined. Joined and not changed, mixed, or confused there. Maybe one way we can think about it, another way we can see the glory of Christ and sit in amazement and awe, thinking about the incarnation. As Mary held baby Jesus, even moments after birth, taking on flesh, conceived in the Holy Spirit, born, she's holding her child. In Christ, that moment, His divine nature is holding the universe together. Even as we read in Colossians chapter 1, it's mind-blowing. It drives us to worship. We look at the incarnation, we're also reminded, as Hebrews points out, reminded of who our Savior is. The impact that it made that He took on flesh. The impact the incarnation has on your life and on all of our lives. The fact that we have a high priest who sympathizes with us. You know, it's one thing to feel sorry or to feel pain for someone, but it's another thing to be able to come alongside them, having walked that very road and coming and encouraging them the love of Christ and pointing them to Christ, but knowing at least somewhat the pain that they have gone through, or perhaps even those who have celebrated in ways that only some have achieved. But the Lord Jesus Christ in the incarnation, his life, his ministry here on earth, he knows Christ just like you. He knows what it's like to be alone. Jesus knows what it's like to be isolated at times. Jesus knows what it's like to be loved by all who want him because of what he can do for them. He knows what it is like to be hated. Jesus knows what it's like to be abused. Jesus knows what it's like to be mocked and ridiculed and made fun of. Jesus knows what it's like, on probably a level we cannot understand, to be conspired against, to be insulted and humiliated. Jesus knows what it's like to be sinned against. And Jesus, in this, he shows us compassion, his willingness and the humiliation to take on flesh and to live the perfect life that we couldn't live. You remember the fall in Genesis we read as our first lesson. Being lost in sin, separated forever from the holy God. God the Son, Jesus came, took on flesh, lived under his own law, keeping the law we cannot keep, keeping it for his people. Going to the cross so that the sins of his people might be laid upon him, that he would then die an atoning death. To pay the debt that cannot be paid. Raised from the dead, ascended, reigning now, the right hand of God the Father, ruling King of Kings and Lord of Lords. These are all the things that we are celebrating. We celebrate it every Sunday, we celebrate it every day, and we're celebrating it together this evening. Second, we see that Jesus is our Redeemer. The Lord Jesus Christ is the source of all physical life. But we even see here in this passage in John, and even where we've been reading this evening, he's not just the source of physical life, but he's the source of spiritual life, eternal life, and life abundant, as we read in the Gospels. Jesus is not the first created, or first creation, as some might wrongly claim, but he is the Creator. We read that from God's Word. That has been told to us and revealed from the God, from our God, and we can trust that. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So as we continue our celebration, the days ahead of the incarnation of Christ, we remember that He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is our Redeemer. We keep our hearts fixed upon that truth at all times. And in God's condescending grace, we see the climax of this in the incarnation and the purpose of it. Lord Jesus Christ, again, taking on flesh in order to save his people from their sins, greatest need that everyone has. The one thing that no person can overcome, no matter how hard they try, no matter what family they're born into, there is no way to overcome the sin gulf, the guilt before their Creator. That's why he came. You read about that, the promises. Starting back in Genesis, after the fall, when God said he was going to deal with it. He was going to take care of this problem. Then we worked our way through the promises in Isaiah, and we continued to move our way, and we read Luke, Matthew, Hebrews, John. Lord Jesus Christ, that's why he came. God's gift of salvation is priceless. And while it can't be earned or bought, it is freely given. If you're listening right now and you don't know Christ, you have no relationship with him, you don't trust in him, you don't have any belief, Perhaps you came with friends or family, or you thought it would be fun to do a Christmas tradition. You go to one of these lessons and carols celebrations that have been happening for about 100 years now. Well, I'd encourage you right now to pray, to cry out, to look to the Lord, to look to Christ, to believe in Him, receive this free gift of salvation, trusting in the adoption into God's family. Now for Christians, as we are concluding our reading, about to sing our last carol together, I want to encourage you to remember our purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy Him. So let's enjoy Him. Let's enjoy the greatest gift that He's given. The gift of salvation, the gift of adoption, the gift of forgiveness. And as we spend time with our family, let's encourage one another with that great truth. Spend time with our friends, encourage them. And let's do it not just this week, but every week, whether it's July or December, Sunday, Wednesday, Tuesday. May it be something that is overflowing from our hearts. It's great truth. We hang tightly to that Jesus is the God-man who came to save His people from their sins. Oh Lord, we thank You for the many readings that we've had. We ask the Spirit would take them and work great fruit in the lives of all those who are here. And Father, we thank You. We thank You for the incarnation of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for God the Son coming, redeeming His people, ruling and reigning over all things. Thankful for the Spirit who indwells us and brings us into union with Christ, who brings us into fellowship with You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us sing our final carol together. We're going to stand, if you're able, for this one. If not, we're still all going to sing with great joy. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Closing prayer, I have just one or two directive things to give. Oh Lord, our good and gracious God, thank You for this evening that we were able to come together to celebrate the incarnation of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word that you've given to us, that we might be able to read it and be encouraged, that the Spirit might open our eyes and ears to your truth, that we might know the gospel, that we might know the call that you have given of repentance and faith in Christ, Christ as he is revealed in your word. Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you for hymns and carols and psalms that we're able to sing to your glory. Lord, thank you for this building and for the congregation that allows us to use it. Lord, thank you for all those who played instruments to accompany our singing this evening. Lord, thank you for everyone that came and is here, everyone who has been part of this Lessons and Carols. Lord, we ask that your grace would be poured out upon them, that your saving, Lord, your sanctifying, Lord, your sustaining grace might be known by us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.